Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men.
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone, rest your cause upon His.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Edwin.
Kicking off our day in the Word of God, talking about the text, Revelation chapter 5. As we consider this throne room scene where we've worshiped God, the Father sitting on the throne, and now the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, who has conquered, has appeared as a lamb that was slain.
Surprise.
But even as a, so already we're, it's kind of, well, wait a minute, is he the shepherd? Is he the sheep? Is he the lion? Is he the lamb? Then we're going to look at the lamb and we're going to notice, even as a lamb, he's kind of odd.
Yeah, he looks a little different, doesn't he?
He's even odd. As a lamb. So, let's talk about that.
We're going to read it again, and we're going to pay particular attention to some of the description of the Lamb of God here in Revelation chapter 5. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever.
I love this picture. I've noticed as we've read it multiple times this week how when John gets to be in this heavenly throne room and Jesus is worshiped, there's a trifold worship. Kind of like in the last chapter when God is worshiped, it's holy, holy, holy.
Right.
And here in chapter 5, when the Lion of the tribe of Judah comes on the scene, the lamb that was slain, he's worthy, worthy. Now, the third time doesn't use the word worthy again, but it's these three times of worship, these three proclamations of worship for Jesus, who is the lamb that was slain. But we look at this lamb, and as I said just a few moments ago, it's even an odd-looking kind of lamb. Now, number one, we pointed out yesterday, it's a lamb that's slain.
Yeah, so let's start right there.
So it looks like maybe with a slit throat and some blood pouring down the front of it. So we've got a white lamb probably with blood. Just that picture. It's going to be kind of an interesting one. But there's some other odd things. What do you notice about that?
Well, I notice that it says not only is it slain, but that it has seven eyes and seven horns.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I've ever seen a a lamb or a sheep with more than two.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like, first of all, so there's seven. We've mentioned before that here in apocalyptic literature, seven is a special number, mm-hmm. a number of completeness and divinity.
Divine number, yeah.
So we've got here a lamb that is that has this complete power. And a horn. Horn is a picture of strength and power.
Yes.
And so yes. here is the lamb. He's the lion. He's the lamb, but he is a lamb with seven horns. And that's interesting because he's a lamb with seven horns. Normally, you're waiting for them to grow up and be
sure.
an adult
right,
lamb
right.
with any horn at all. But now he's a lamb that's slain, but he has this divine complete power because of these seven horns.
With the seven eyes, eyes typically symbolize a knowledge, an awareness, a sight.
Yes.
So they have the idea of a complete knowledge, a complete awareness. So when I think of a complete strength and a complete knowledge, I want to use words like omni, like
yeah.
omnipotent, yeah. omniscient.
Yeah.
That these kinds of qualities then are pictured in this lamb who was slain.
But then he tells us, so remember, we right off the bat when we were studying Revelation, we recognize that very often what John is going to do when there is something in the picture that really means something, something in the picture that, oh, this represents something and we need to know what this is,
mm-hmm.
he will tell us.
Right.
So he had told us about the lampstands being the churches and the stars mm-hmm. being the angels of the churches. And now here we see the seven eyes and he actually tells us what that is. The seven spirits
the seven
of God.
Spirits of God.
Which we've run into a couple of times.
Yeah, chapter
already
one,
in Revelation.
Right? Yeah.
Well, a couple chapter one, I think it's in chapter two. I think it's definitely mentioned in chapter four. In fact, last week we really dug into that notion as the seven torches,
right.
which were the seven spirits of God, taking us back to the tabernacle and how the tabernacle was an earthly representation of the heavenly reality
mm-hmm.
of the true tent made without hands. And in the tabernacle, you had a lamp with seven lamps.
Right.
And those seven torches are seven flames. And he says that's the seven spirits. So that lamp was a representation of the Holy Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And now we come to Jesus, who is the lamb who has these eyes. And these eyes are the Holy Spirit. These
mm-hmm.
eyes. So there somehow Jesus, the slain lamb, has the Holy Spirit. Is that what we're seeing here?
Well, it could be. And again, I think this is echoing messianic prophecy.
Okay.
All right. That when we were looking for the one who would be the shoot of David, right? He would have the Spirit of God.
Okay.
So like in Isaiah chapter 11
mm-hmm.
and verses 1 and 2, we read Isaiah 11 verse 1. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago?
I think it was Tuesday when we were talking about the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
There you go. So in Isaiah 11, verse 1, it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And we've had that language here in Revelation 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then we continue reading in verse number 2, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So the descendant that we're looking for, the Messiah that we're looking for, is going to have the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And I can't help but notice how many of these words deal with knowledge. It says the Spirit of knowledge, but you have all these synonyms for it, like wisdom and understanding and so forth.
But also might.
Might is there as well.
Might, so there's the horn.
There's the horns.
Okay, so wait a minute. Did you notice that here in Isaiah chapter 11, as it's describing the Spirit, there's the first statement, he has one, the Spirit of the Lord.
One.
And then there's three more statements that are all couplets.
Okay.
And so we have a spirit of wisdom and understanding, 2, 3.
Three.
We have a spirit of counsel and might.
4, 5.
And then we have a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
6, 7.
So here is the sevenfold spirit of the Lord right here in
mm-hmm.
Isaiah 11, promised that when the Messiah shows up, that's the measure of the spirit that
yes.
he's going to have. It's the idea that the absolute complete fullness of God's spirit, of God's empowering presence, when the Messiah gets here, you're going to know that it's the Messiah because this is what he's going to have. There have been all kinds of people throughout history that God has been with,
mm-hmm.
that he has empowered to do things.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, throughout the Old Testament, the law and the histories and the prophets and the writings, very often it would even describe when these folks did these special amazing things, it would be described as the Spirit of the Lord being with them or rushing upon them.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second, because in the book of Judges particularly, you have several different leaders of that God had selected to lead his people and to deliver his people, mm-hmm. and the Spirit of the Lord would come upon them.
Right.
But that word judge, we might think of a fellow in a black robe with a gavel, but really the idea there is one of a deliverer,
right, right.
or even a savior.
Yes.
So in some respect, these judges all foreshadow Christ,
oh, an yeah.
ultimate savior, an ultimate deliverer.
Right. And what we see multiple times, now not with every one of them in Judges,
no.
but with Othniel in Judges 3:10, with Gideon in Judges 6:34, with Jephthah in Judges 11:29, and then Samson, kind of almost an ultimate one. Four times it talks about the Spirit of the Lord rushing upon him in Judges 13:25, 14:6, 14:19, and 15:14. All of these judges accomplish their deliverance mm-hmm. by the empowering presence of the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon them. But none of these guys have a full measure of God's Holy Spirit. What does Jesus have? Jesus has, the Messiah would have, the full measure of God's Holy Spirit,
the sevenfold.
He's going to have all of this,
mm-hmm.
and that's really powerful. Now, think about David. David himself, mm-hmm. Saul as king, there's a picture of the Spirit rushing upon him, and then
right.
he has a great victory. But now Saul has a problem.
There's also a picture of the Spirit leaving Saul.
The Spirit leaves him, yeah. And what's fascinating is there in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when the Spirit leaves Saul, mm-hmm. he rushes on David
yeah.
thereafter. And we don't see anything miraculous happen with David right away, but in the next chapter, in 1 Samuel 17, that's when David defeats Goliath.
Well, and I think even in the 16th chapter, there's a hint at what you're talking about, because when Saul is troubled by a troubling spirit, when David comes and plays the harp, it drives that away.
Mm.
And so God's Spirit is on David.
Mm.
All right, and to me, that is a manifestation of the difference right there. When David comes, it drives away the evil. The Spirit of
yeah,
God now rests upon
point.
David. It's not there for Saul anymore.
Right, very
but,
good
I mean, you're absolutely right, because David gives the credit of his victory over Goliath to the Lord. The battle is the Lord's.
Yeah,
yeah?
And so we're going to know the Messiah, because he is going to have this absolute full measure of the Spirit of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then we read the Gospels, and that's what we see. We see this full measure, the power, the strength, the knowledge that Jesus has. All of that is going to be demonstrated as he calms storms, as he casts out demons, as he heals diseases, as all of those things, as he is able to read the hearts and minds and know the thoughts of the people, and know the lives of the people that come that he, with whom he comes in contact.
And again, that shows a difference between these judges who are types in the Old Testament. Their deliverance is for a people, for Israel,
yeah,
right? But now here is the Christ, the Lamb who was slain. He's going to deliver all peoples
mm-hmm.
that will come to him. It's greater. Also, in the Old Testament, there are military victories, some of which miraculous, but I mean, all of them are empowered by God, but it's still the way that kingdoms battle. It is in the ways of men.
Yeah.
But as something, I mean, you pointed out in episode two ago, how has Christ had victory? It's by being slain. It's
yeah.
by being sacrificed. So even though he has all power, he uses it differently. He uses it benevolently.
Mm, mm.
And that's something we don't want to miss.
Can I make one more comment before we close out? I know we're running short on time here. In the very beginning, we had a promise after the fall and the curse. In the very beginning, it was that the seed of woman would be opposed to the seed of the serpent,
yeah.
and the serpent would strike the heel of the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And from that moment on, God's people were looking for this ultimate anointed one
mm-hmm.
who would crush the head of the serpent. And how often do we find, as God's Spirit is working in the people, there is this attacking of the heads. I even think about David. What does David do? He smites Goliath in the head with a stone, mm. and then he goes and he removes the head
right.
of this enemy. He crushes the head of the serpent. We might think, finally we found the guy. But David ends up not being the guy.
Mm.
But we're looking for a new David.
Mm.
And now what John presents to us, the new David has come. And this, even though we haven't seen it yet, we haven't read, well, if we've read all of Revelation, like we've asked people to do, we've seen it. But yeah. As we're just reading through right now, we haven't seen, but that's exactly what's going to happen. Here is the one that will crush the head of that serpent of old. That's what we need to be looking forward to in this book. That's what's being foreshadowed and coming.
Praise God.
Holy God, thank you for your son who crushed the head of the serpent. And when we face tribulation and turmoil and trial and trauma and persecution, help us to hang on to him, knowing that he is going to crush the enemy. He has the fullness of your spirit, and we are so thankful to be his brethren and his citizens. It is through him that we pray this thanksgiving to you. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at ChristiansMeetHere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.